Magandang umaga pong muli. Bantog nga ang kwento ni Horatio Spafford na siyang may akda ng It Is Well With My Soul, and the fact that he could write such a song that states or asserts na It Is Well With My Soul ay isang bagay na masasabi natin perpetuation of the lesson of the book of Job. Malapit yung kanyang karanasan sa naging karanasan ni Job, at least on the initial stage, at nagawa niyang maihayag ang kanyang pagtitiwala sa ating Panginoon. Kung kaya ganyan naman ang book of Job, why it has been such a source of comfort, of theology, of teachings concerning suffering, ay dahil walang katulad ito sa ancient literature na talagang humarap ng husto sa katotohanan ng suffering, but a particular kind of suffering, that is the suffering of the righteous. Yan ang pinakanaging palaisipan sa Book of Job, ay anong may ipapaliwanag mo sa usaping iyan ng isang matuwid na tao na naglilingkod sa Diyos at pagkatapos katakot-takot na hirap ang kanyang dinanas. Kaya uminog ang aklat sa dialogue nitong si Job at ng kanyang tatlong kaibigan. Ang kanilang palaisipan na sinasagot ay paano mo ipapaliwanag ng isang matuwid ay naghihirap, nagdurusa, dumaranas ng sunod-sunod na mga kabigatan, na salanta ang kanyang mga ari-arian, namatay ang kanyang mga anak, at siya mismo ay dinapuan ang isang napakabigat na karamdaman. Kaya sa kanilang dialogue, kanilang sinasagot ang tanong na yan, at maaaring andyan din ang tanong na yan sa atin pag tayo ay nakakaranas ng paghihirap, na itatanong natin yan, bakit ako, bakit ganito, bakit ngayon pa? So, ang unang nagsalita, na sana hindi na nagsalita, pero nagsalita sila ay ang kanyang mga kaibigan. Tandaan natin, they were sympathetic, in fact, for the first 7 days ng kanilang pagdalaw. Nakitangi sila kay Job at tumahimik sila. Isang natutunan natin doon ay the power of silent sympathy. That there is no need to a suffering man, no need to lecture, no need to berate him of anything. Pero ito ang naging mali ng mga kaibigan ni Job. Sa aklat ni Job, mahalagang unawaan natin ang kanyang struktura, mahalaga sa anumang aklat. Pero dito sa Job, dahil sa pagkalimot ng struktura at ng kalikasan ng aklat na ito, marami ang mga nagkakamali. So we need to understand that the book of Job is pre-Mosaic, bago pa sa panahon ni Moises. Kaya siya ay nakapag-aalay noong panahon na ni Moises, hindi na pwede yan. Pero bago kay Moises, ay nakapag-aalay siya. So the event itself is pre-Mosaic, but the literature, ang tawag na genre, ay wisdom literature. Sa kapanahunan na yan nila Solomon, doon isinulat. Yung pangyayari bago si Moses, pero ang pagkasulat ito ay wisdom literature. Mahalaga po yan sa usapin natin, sapagkat ang isang wisdom literature celebrates wisdom. God's wisdom and the blessing of wisdom on a man. Kaya ito ang dapat na naging paksa, pero nakita na nga natin last week at hanggang ngayon, sumasablay sapagkat hindi ito ang nakikita nila. And we have here also the redemptive part or lesson of the book of Job is the redemptive significance of suffering. Sa paraan ng paghihirap, may mga bagay na inilalabas ang Diyos na pagpapala. Nariyan yung mga ang struktura niya that you can just follow. Inuna natin last week yung kanyang mga kaibigan. Ang kanilang pananaw ay maaari nating ibuod sa isang syllogism. Ang kanilang major premise, divine justice will not permit suffering to the righteous. Minor premise, Job is suffering greatly. Conclusion, Job is not righteous but is sinning greatly. Yan yung kanilang naging pananaw. Hindi maaring itulot ng Diyos na maghirap ang isang matuwid. Naghihirap si Job, sa makatuwid hindi siya matuwid. At hindi lang sa hindi siya matuwid, dahil grabe ang paghihirap niya, grabe ang kasalanan niya. At ang kanilang naging panawagan kay Job, magsisi ka na para mawala ang iyong paghihirap. So that's the suffering, or that's the conclusion of the friends. Straight jacket justice, and they were wrong. At yung naging effect kay Job, miserable. You are miserable comforters. Ingatan natin na huwag tayong maging ganyan. Muli, ang naging lesson natin last week, the power of sympathy. Kapag tayo ay nagpapayo, nagmi-ministeryo sa isang naghihirap na matuwid, the power of sympathy. Now, let's proceed with Job's view. Paano ito pinaliwanag ni Job? Now, remember that Job is the one suffering. At maging marahan at mahinahon tayo sa pagtutok sa nangyayari dito kay Job. He was suffering and he is saddled with personal grief and pains. And hindi lang yan, wala siyang sympathy. At yung talagang buong katawan niya ay naghihirap. There are hints in the book of the kind of physical suffering that Job was enduring. So sa una, sinabi, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. I've read accounts by medical experts kung anong matatawag nila rito, and they don't agree. No, there is no unanimity, kaya hahayaan ko na lang na yung mismong mga description ni Job. 30-30, my skin turns black and falls from me, and my bones burn with heat. 19-20, my bones stick to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. O, dyan galing yung expression na yan, escaping by the skin of my teeth. And then 30-17, the night racks my bones, and the pain that gnaws me takes no rest. Alam ng iba sa inyo na I'm suffering from allergy kapag masidhi. Minsan nakakabaliw. Gusto kong kumuha ng batalas na bagay to scratch myself. Pero ang isang consolation ko, malayo pa yan kay Job. And here is Job, nangyayari sa kanya. At ibig sabihin, let's be sympathetic to him. Sa ganyang kalagayan, may mga masasabi siyang maaring ikapangilabot natin. Pero tandaan natin, he is suffering this. Not only that, people who should have sympathized with him have withdrawn their sympathy. So 1917, my breath is strange to my wife, and I am a stench to the children of my own mother. So Brother Jones, children of my own mother. And 1919, all my intimate friends abhor me, and those whom I loved have turned against me. So isipin ninyo, siguro we can only imagine, but maaring kadiri-diri yung kalagayan ni Job, mismo yung mga malapit sa kanya, lumalayo sa kanya. And so here is a man suffering physically greatly, grieving emotionally, and no one sympathizing. So whatever it is na masasambit niya, mabibigkas sa kanyang pananalita, ilagay natin sa ganitong kalagayan. Ito ang kalagayan ni Job. He was loathsome even to his family and friends. So paano inilutas ni Job ang bagay na ito? Nasa dilema siya. Ito ang dilema ni Job. Una, meron siyang paniniwala sa kanyang Diyos. Sa kanyang paniniwala, God, being just, will not punish the innocent. That's justice. Pag ang hukom, nagparusa ng alam niya, inosente, hindi hustisya yon. So that's his basic belief. God is just, and being just, he will not punish the innocent, and it results in his appeals to God. Umaapila siya sa Diyos na tugunan siya bilang matuwid at makatarungan. But on the other hand, his conscience affirms his innocence and righteousness, and it turns, as we shall see, to accusing God. So here is the dilemma of Job. Matuwid ang Diyos, dapat hindi siya pinaparusahan, pero pinaparusahan siya. Samantalang ang konsensya niya ay nagsasabing wala siyang kasalanan, walang dahilan para siya parusahan. So you have here two sides that create Job's dilemma. Sa kanyang paniniwala ukol sa Diyos, sa kanyang konsensya na nagsasabi sa kanya na siya ay matuwid. So that's the dilemma. So the first thing that Job does is appeal. Appeal to God. 19-21. Let's read sa verse 21 na lang, that he would argue the case of a man with God as a son of man does with his neighbor. Court language ang ginagamit ni Job dito. Parang nasa korte siya, siya ang nasa trial, at ang gusto niya ang Diyos ang kanyang advocate, manananggol. Na kapag ang Diyos ay ipagtanggol siya, tiwalang tiwala siya na he will be cleared. So he is appealing to God as advocate. Ang trabaho ng isang advocate ay to stand for the defendant. Ipagtanggol niya. May mga bantog tayong mga abogado. Basta mayroong naakusahan, nandun sila at magaling silang mag-argue sa korte, pero that is a human court that can be easily manipulated, etc. But here, for Job, is the trial of his life. If only God will be his advocate, he is just sure that he will be cleared. He will be declared innocent. Kung ang Diyos lamang bilang matuwid ay siyang magiging manananggol niya, so Job is confident of acquittal in a trial where God will defend him. But at the same time, Job appeals to God as Redeemer. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. Whom shall I see for myself, etc. Now, may tension dito. An advocate stands in order to defend the innocence of the defendant. But a Redeemer is needed when one is already pronounced guilty. Kasi ang trabaho ng Redeemer ay magbayad ng ransom sa korte para sa ikalalaya ng nahatulan na. So you see the dilemma of Job here. Court language pa rin ito. Para siyang nasa korte, nasa trial, kung ang Diyos lamang ang siyang kanyang magiging manananggol, tiyak ang kanyang pagka-inosente. Makiklear siya. Pero on the other hand, he gives room to the possibility that he will be declared guilty, and in such a case, he appeals to God as Redeemer. God as advocate to declare his innocence, Redeemer, so that as a man pronounced guilty, he will have someone to pay the ransom. So yan ang dilemma dito ni Job. Gusto niyang ma-declare innocent, pero nandun yung maaring resulta na siya ay masentensyahan. So you have here these two cases. Job's case is that he is not guilty. If only God will defend his case. So this is God as his advocate. But if found guilty, he will make his final appeal to God, God as his redeemer. Itong hindi nakikita ng marami pag nagbabasa sila ng Job ay maraming ginamit yan, court language. Ang kanyang mga accusers, yung friends. They were his accusers, dinala siya sa korte. Ngayon nasa korte siya, kung ipagtanggol lamang siya ng Diyos, tiyak mong papawalang sala siya. Pero sa isang pagkakataon na siya ay masentensyahan, ang apila naman niya ay sa Diyos na kanyang manunubos. So either manananggol o manunubos, ang ganda nito sa atin ay we can see the gospel note of this sa atin. Sa 1 John chapter 2, my little children, I am not writing these things to you so that I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You see yung point na huwag kayong magkasala. Manatili kayo doon sa katayuang huwag magkasala. Pero hindi doon tinapos. Kung kayo'y magkasala, meron tayong manananggol kay Jesucristo, and He is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. Ang propitiation, ang ibig sabihin niya, siya ang nagtatanggal ng puot ng Diyos sa kasalanan. Kaya ang ibig sabihin, ito ang katayuan ng isang Kristiyano. May sala siya, pero meron siyang tagapagtanggol. At dahil sa ginawa ni Jesucristo, walang dahilang matakot ang isang mananampalataya sa puot ng Diyos. Mapapanatili natin ang katarungan ng Diyos na may puot sa kasalanan, ngunit ang mananampalataya kay Jesucristo, hindi kailangang matakot sa puot ng Diyos. Kung wala ka kay Jesucristo, may dahilang matakot ka sa puot ng Diyos, sapagkat ang puot na yon ay binibigyang lubag lamang ng ginawa ni Jesucristo. So from Job, we learn what we are. In our case, we cannot appeal to innocence. We are sinful. But in our Christian life, we want to live a righteous life. We aspire to. But then we fail. And when we fail, we don't need to fear the wrath of God, because of Jesus Christ, our advocate. So yan ang unang ginawa ni Job, apila. Because naniniwala siya na ang Diyos ay makatarungan. But then, he turns to his conscience. Job insists on his innocence. Ang pagiging matuwid ko ay aking pinanghahawakan at hindi ko bibitiwan. Hindi ako sinisisi ng aking puso sa alinman sa aking mga araw. Parang sa korte uli, hindi ba minsan pag medyo bumibigat na yung ebidensya, papayuhan ng abogado yung kanyang kliyente, eh mag-deal na tayo. Bas mababang sentensya, basta aminin mong ikaw ay guilty. Eh maaring ganyan ang dating sa kay Job. At ang sabi niya, hindi, I will not make a deal. Gustuhin natin ang trial. So, nag-i-insist siya ng kanyang innocence. Yan ang ginagawa dito ni Job. And one good thing about Job's insistence on his innocence and his righteous life, nagsabi siya rito ng mga bagay na ginagawa niya at pinagpipilitan niya kung bakit siya matuwid. At sa mga sinabi niyang yon, may magandang mga referensyang na i-provide siya sa mga ethicists ngayon. Sa Christian ethics ngayon, maraming mga talata kay Job na ginagamit nang dahil sa kanyang kinongkreto kung ano yung kanyang buhay na matuwid. For example, on the issue of abortion, sinabi ni Job, "Your hands fashioned and made me." At kung ituloy nyo yan, napaka-poetic na description, but the point is that God is intimately involved in the processes in the womb. At pansinin yung ginamit niya, me, that's me in the womb. Ako na yun, tao na. Wala pa yung mga medical research on what the fetal development is like yet. Dahil sa sinabi ni Job, isa ito sa ginagamit ngayon ng mga biblical ethicists that we should insist the womb, the life in the womb is a person. Yan ang isang naitulong ni Job sa atin. Isa pa, the belief that all men and women are equal by virtue of creation. Sinabi niya kung bakit siya namuhay ng matuwid. Tungkol ito sa kanyang mga manservant and maidservants. And here he says, "Did not he who made me in the womb make him manservant?" At sa context, kasama ang maidservants, meaning men and women servants. Can you imagine this early, Job could say, "I am of the same mold as my servants. We are equal, equally made." Walang ganyang pananaw. Ang mga pananaw noon, ang mga sa royalty ay may ibang pinanggalingan, yung mga slaves ay iba rin ang pinanggalingan. Yet Job here is saying, there is equality of all because of creation. Did not one fashion us in the womb? What a great ethical standard this early. Walang ganyang katumbas sa panahong iyon. Or think of benevolence. May soup, noodles na ibinibigay na wala lang yung color. "If I have withheld anything that the poor desired or have eaten my morsel alone and the fatherless has not eaten of it," ang sinasabi niya, "let me be condemned." But he was sure he had been doing this, the act of benevolence towards others. And then, as early as this, Job could say, he was not a materialistic, covetous person. "If I have made gold my trust or cold, fine gold my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was abundant or because my hand had found much," again, yung continuation niya na, "let God condemn me, or then I am not righteous." But the fact is that he knew he never lived for wealth. Now remember, Job was a wealthy man. Before yung kanyang trials, ay mayaman na siya. Pero kahit nung panahong yun, hindi niya pinairal ang pagkaganid sa yaman. Hindi siya materyosong tao. And again, this early, you see the high ethical standard of Job. Ang makikita natin dito ay true righteousness should be concretized in specific standards of conduct. Sa iyong treatment sa kapwa, sa iyong pagtatangi sa mga material na bagay, doon makikita kung tunay ka ng matuwid. Yan ang ginawa ni Job. Kumbaga, nagpipresenta siya ng mga ebidensya sa korte. Etong aking ginawa. Ito pa. Kaya dapat ako ay ideklara na walang sala. So that's the point of Job. And because of this, here are some of the more hair-raising statements of Job. Dahil sa alam niyang nagpakatuwid siya ng buhay, tapos ito ang inabot niya mula sa Diyos. Nauwi siya sa accusation. Know then that God has put me in the wrong and closed his net about me. Behold, I cry out violence, but I am not answered. I call for help, but there is no justice. 27:2, as God lives, who has taken away my right, and the Almighty who has made my soul bitter. Well, these are pretty harsh words against God. Sinasabi niya, naging marahas sa akin ang Diyos. Tinanggal niya ang aking karapatan. In one word, he feels God is being unjust. That's what he believes, God is just. But his conscience is telling him, I'm innocent, so why am I being punished like this? Then God is unjust. God is doing me violence. So this is where we see Job is. Job charges God of injustice, of detachment. So from seeking God's advocacy at his worst, he turns accuser of God. So here is one thing. The friends were wrong. Here, Job is also wrong. Job is not suffering because he sinned. But when he suffered, he sinned. Kaiba yun. Job's suffering is not caused by sin, but because he suffered, it led to sin. So, hindi kasalanan ang sanhi ng kanyang paghihirap. Mali ang kanyang mga kaibigan na kaya siya naghihirap dahil nagkasala siya. Pero ang nangyari kay Job, nang siya'y naghirap, nang siya'y nagkaroon ng pagdurusa, nagkasala siya. Hindi siya nagdurusa dahil sa kanyang kasalanan, ngunit nagkasala siya dahil sa kanyang pagdurusa. Which gives us this warning. Even when you are suffering, it is not permissible to sin. You must determine not to sin even when you suffer. So like his friends, Job is in error in seeking the justice, that in seeing justice as being the operative principle. Dapat hustisya, hindi dapat nagdurusa ang isang matuwid. At dyan muli, nagkamali si Job katulad din ng kanyang mga kaibigan. Nakita na natin last week, ang dapat na tingnan, hindi katarungan, wisdom and mercy. Job is a wisdom literature. And the attribute that applies is wisdom and mercy. And in the wisdom and mercy of God, sometimes the wicked prosper. At maliwanag yan sa Biblia. Maliwanag yan sa Psalm 73, na kung saan nag-alinlangan ang matuwid dahil nakita niya ang mga masasama ay sumasagana. Again, God in wisdom and mercy may permit the righteous to be in adversity. Sa makitid na pagpananaw na ang pinaiira lang ay katarungan ng Diyos, lahat ay katarungan, ay talagang magiging palaisipan ng buhay. Kung katarungan lang, bakit may mga masasamang nakakatakas sa katarungan at sumasagana pa? Samantalang may mga matutuwid na sila ang nagdurusa. Because what explains it is not justice. Sometimes justice rules temporarily, but the fullness of justice is in eternity, not here. Ang makita natin dapat karunungan ng Diyos na hindi lubos na maipaliwanag. There is wisdom that governs this life. So this is where Job is wrong. Kakaya ng mga kaibigan niya, ang pinairal din niya, hustisya dapat ang magpaliwanag ng buhay. Naniniwala tayo sa hustisya ng Diyos. May mga pansamantala na pagpapairal nito, pero hindi palagi. Kuminsan pinahihintulutan ang kasalanan at kasamaan ng tao na umiral, ngunit ang kahustuhan ay sa katapusan, sa pangwalang hanggan. Pero anong dapat nating matutunan kay Job dito? Ang natutunan natin last week sa friends, the need for sympathy in the face of suffering. Ang gusto kong matutunan natin dito ay total honesty to God in our worst condition. is better than what I call ritual courtesy. Maninindig ang balahibo mo minsan pag binabasa mo ang mga sinasabi ni Job sa kanyang Diyos. Yun ang pakiramdam niya. And he was being honest. He was saying it as he felt. And as honesty to God, even though he was wrong, yet he was honest. And that is better than ritual courtesy. So righteous honesty will deserve rebuke, but in God's gentleness. In fact, this is what God did to Job. He was rebuked, but not in sharpness, but gentleness. It led to Job's repentance, as we shall see later. On the other hand, ritual courtesy, God rejects it. God detests insincerity. At ito ang sinabi ng Panginoon, citing from Isaiah in Mark chapter 7, "These people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So yung kanilang lips, punong-puno ng religious courtesies, and God rejects it. Job's lips had sometimes unfair charges against God, and yet God dealt with him gently because he was honest. And brethren, that is the lesson that let us draw near to God. May mga ganitong panahon sa isang mananampalataya, lumalakad siya sa katuwiran. Ngunit hindi niya maipaliwanag bakit dinadala siya ng Panginoon sa kabigatan at sa kadiliman. The archetype of this is the suffering righteous servant which was fulfilled ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 50 verse 10, my final slide. "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." Tingnan niyo yung binanggit dito na naghihirap. He fears the Lord. He obeys the voice of his servant, and his servant is Christ. At yet, kapag nangyayari iyon, he finds himself walking in darkness, no light, meaning no explanation, no reason. Yet, ang panawagan ay trust in the Lord. Rely on your God. And the lesson for us from Job's approach, honesty to God, but in the times that na hindi natin maipaliwanag ba't nangyayari ang isang yugto sa ating buhay samantalang tayo nagpapakatuwid at naglilingkod, ay magtiwala ka sa Panginoon. Ginagawa niya ang marunong, ginagawa niya ang mabuti, at magliliwanag ito sa darating, ngunit tanggapin mo ngayon ang may pagtitiwala. Any question or any clarification, any thought you'd like to share? Any question?
Clarification po doon sa Job 27:6, parang lumalabas na Job was being affirmed by his heart. Contrasting it with parang Jeremiah 17:9, could it be said that Job trusted too much in his heart, wherein sa 17:9 it says that the heart is deceitful above all things?
Well, you can say that he was affirming his conscience. Sa conscience niya, bago dumating yung paghihirap niya, hindi naman siya talaga nabubuhay sa kasalanan. Nabubuhay siya sa katuwiran. And that's something that his conscience affirms. So, I don't think he was trusting a deceitful heart. It's rather his conscience affirming what he knew his life was like before the adversity. So, it's not... You know, even Jeremiah came to the point na he accused God. Nung siya'y naghihirap na sa kanyang prophetic ministry, there was a point where he actually used the words, "You deceived me, and I was deceived." Parang na-deceive siya into his prophetic ministry. Tinanggap niya, akala niya ay mamumunga ito sa pagsisisi ng bayan, pero hindi nangyari. At yun ang sinabi niya sa Panginoon. That again is an example of honesty to God, no matter how wrong your thoughts may be, but those are your thoughts. No sense of hiding them from God. He already knows. And the only thing is to express it to God honestly. Other questions or thoughts? You're treating me with silent sympathy. I prefer voices. Bang Zaldi.
Sa po nang galing yung yaman ni Job? Pinagpapala siya ng...
Alin po?
Saan po nang galing yung mga material riches ni Job?
Materials...
Riches.
Eh, mayaman na po siya talaga noon bago pa siya nagkaroon ng kapighatian, pinakilala siya sa Job 1 na mayaman na. Kung saan galing yon, I'm sure galing sa matuwid. Kumina naman niya o sariling sikap niya, matuwid ang pagkakaangkin niya ng kanyang kayamanan. Pero maliwanag dun sa sinabi niya na pinakita natin, hindi siya naging ganid, hindi siya naging, yung kanyang buhay ay hindi hinubog ng kanyang kayamanan. Iba ang diwa niya. Other questions? Or other thoughts? John?
Last week po, diniscuss natin yung, ang diniscuss is parang yung it's better for friends to keep silent and then pero when it comes to the point that the friend is asking you for words of comfort, what are some best things to say or topics to touch on when consoling a friend in suffering?
Again, if you're counseling a person like Job, a righteous yet suffering, then maraming turo ang salita ng Diyos ukol diyan. You can go to Psalm 73 and other relevant passages. But to me, the best argument is Jesus Christ. Who suffered more than Jesus? Who was more righteous than Jesus? And yet, the Lord had permitted him, in fact, had ordained him to undergo such suffering with a very loving purpose for his people. So we can say that righteous suffering has its redemptive significance. Na which will magliliwanag later, kaya lang sa panahon mismo ng adversity, doon yung nagkakaroon ng kabigatan, palaisipan, kaya sa mga nagka-counsel, they should be very careful. Doon sa naghihirap din mismo, he too should be very submissive. At mas maliwanag din sa ating ngayon, si Job, pre-Mosaic, ibig sabihin wala pang scripture noon. Yung pangyayari mismo ng yung panahong nangyari ito kay Job, the event, wala pang scripture because wala pa Moses na pre-Mosaic. So he only had little revelation to go by. Yet he still uttered many high thoughts concerning truth and ethics. Tayo, kumpleto ang scripture. Mas may pagkukunan tayo ng karunungan at kalakasan sa panahon ng ating kapighatian. Teng.
Hindi nga pong meron na tayong scripture to base yung pagkukuhanan natin ng karunungan. Is it try to say similarity na within Christian circles sometimes that when we suffer and then some would say even hindi naman advice ang hiningi kasi sabihin, maybe you have a sin hidden kaya ka nagsisuffer. I've been from another church before na minsan ganun yung sentiment eh. Kaya ka siguro nagkakasakit kasi meron kang unconfessed sin. So, it's parang ironic na we already have Job, yung book of Job, and yet we still say this kind of advice to some brethren yung in such circles.
Doon nga tayo mag-ingat na huwag tayo lumundag sa konklusyon na kapag may kahirapan o pagdurusa, agad na sanhi ay kasalanan, which is where Job's friends were wrong. Now, there are times when it is very obvious. Diba, nagpakalulong siya sa bisyo, bumigay ang katawan niya. Well, you can see the connection quite obviously at pwede mong sabihin yon. Pero lagi pa rin may simpatya, lagi pa rin may hinahon, at laging ituro ang kapatawaran sa ating Panginoon. Paul.
Nalaman po ba ni Job yung dahilan ng kanyang pagdurusa habang buhay pa siya? Nalaman po ba ni Job yung dahilan kung bakit siya nagdurusa? At yung pangalawang tanong ko po ay, kung tayo man ay dumating sa pagdurusa, malalaman po ba din natin yung dahilan kung bakit? Or at times there would be cases na hindi talaga natin dapat, hindi natin malalaman eventually?
Well, both. Pwede nating malaman after having gone through the adversity, ay malaman natin kung bakit at masasabi natin it was good that I have been afflicted, sabi ng psalmist. So makikita niya yung the good reason for the affliction. Nangyari ito kay Job. We will see that by the time ng last chapter ay kung paano itong naging maliwanag kay Job. I don't think Job was the writer of Job. Dahil wisdom literature ito, so it will be written by someone else during more on the Solomonic period. Pero sa event mismo, ay nalaman ni Job ang dahilan. Maari din nating malaman. But then there are times that we may never know till we reach glory. Why? And only then will we be able to explain why. And there we will have reason to glorify God's wisdom that we did go through the affliction.
Hindi ko alam kung tama tong thought ko, Pastor, no? Or in the real life, especially in the current scenario, alam naman natin may mga narinig tayo na professing Christians. But sa tindi ng dagok na dumating sa kanilang buhay, sabi natin they are living righteously. Halimbawa, may mga namatay or what. Tapos dumadating nila sa point na talagang parang kay Job, kinwestiyon nila, and even worse, nag-backslide. So, how do we treat that? Of course, we can never be judgmental na hilaw ba yung kanilang pagiging mananampalataya. Of course, we don't agree na kulang yung biyaya ng Diyos sa kanila. So, how do we treat this kind of situation and what is the proper approach?
Well, we need to differentiate between questioning God or even in the case of Job, accusing God from turning away from God. I don't think Job turned away from God, yung lumayo. Tinalikuran ng Diyos, tinalikuran ng pananampalataya. Andun yung pag-aalinlangan niya, pero to the end, he was a believer in God. Iba yung, I know of a case of a woman na very joyful, quote-unquote, Christian life ang pagkakilala sa kanya. And then, she was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And from that time on, she was bitter towards everything about God, towards everything about Christian life. And she died a bitter woman. And I think that's not the case of Job. Job accused God, Job doubted God, but Job never turned away from God. Kaya pag-iibahin natin yung pag-aalinlangan kesa sa pagtalikod. Job never did. And when we deal with people, we need to discern whether this person is expressing doubt. It happens to the best of us. Or this person is turning his back to God. That's a different thing. Other thoughts? A big part of our counseling situations, kung kayo'y nag-minister ng counseling, is the sufferer. And it's one of those areas that need a lot of discernment and wisdom. Any more thought? Last thought. I.
Pastor, yun doon sa Job 42, starting from verse 10, ano? Kasi doon sinabi, the Lord restored the fortunes ni Job, ano? And then, after he prayed for his friends, so ibig sabihin ba ay immediately after nagpanalangin niya yung kaibigan niya, bumalik na yon. Tapos, sinabi din dito sa verse 11, yung brothers and sisters and all who had known him before ate bread with him in his house and they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Tapos, brought a piece of money and a ring of gold. Ibig ba sabihin na yung brothers and sisters niya. Tsaka lang nag-comfort sa kanya nung na-restore na yung fortune niya, nung nakitang maayos na siya. Ganun lang ba? Tsaka lang lumapit kasi yung friends niya dati ay iba yung ginawa sa kanya. And then, yung bang parang, sorry, medyo nawala. Yung term na ginamit, the Lord brought upon the evil. Pero, alam naman natin, permitted lang naman. So, ganun ba talaga yung language ng pastor? Sorry, medyo marami yung tanong.
Well, dun sa brothers and sisters and friends na na-restore, mukhang nang maunawaan na nila kung ano ang ginawa ng Panginoon kay Job, ay tinanggap nila ito at Job, as we can see, did not harbor ill feelings towards them. He did not harbor bitterness or resentment sa kawalan nila ng simpatya during his days of adversity, and fellowship was restored. And I like to believe that that is gracious fellowship. Hindi lang sa may ulterior motive sila, kundi na-restore yun. As to the Lord bringing the evil there is not evil in terms of moral evil, kundi the evil of providence. At maliwanag sa Isaiah 45:7, in terms of providence, sinabi roon, I create good, I also create evil. Evil, providence. Evil that is, in terms of our experience, masama ang dating sa atin, pero in the will of the Lord, alam natin, pinangyayari niya iyon para sa isang mabuting layunin. That's part of His sovereignty. And sa panahon ng evil na yon, ay talagang dumarating sa panahon ng mga pag-aanilangan. In fact, the first time that Job opened his mouth, ano sabi niya, I curse the day of my birth. I'm sure you're not doing that today. Mayroon pa? Maganda yung pananaw na I'm suggesting to you, yung court scenario, court language na ginagamit ni Job, siya ang on trial, accusers ay ang kanyang friends. Hinihingi niya na depensahan siya ng Panginoon, pero kung mag-guilty, gusto niya ang Panginoon ang kanyang redeemer. That's gospel thought para sa atin. And then when he doubted and in fact became an accuser of God, what it shows is that it happens even to the righteous, where we have feelings towards God which are wrong. And we need to be honest about that. May mga panahon na parang na nagtatampo ka sa Panginoon o meron kang hinanakit kung bakit nangyayari. Eh, there's no sense hiding it because God already knows. Kesa ibihisan mo ng courteous language, oh God, you are sovereign, when in your heart you are really embittered. I prefer to express the bitterness that you feel in your heart, knowing it is wrong, rather than hide it in ritual courtesy. That's one thing I learned from Job. Meron pa? Kung sana ma-apply natin ito, isipin natin sa mga panahong hindi natin maipaliwanag, huwag mong ipilit ang usapin ng hustisya. Ito ay usapin ng karunungan ng ating Diyos. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, kami nagpapasalamat sa mga natutunan namin maging sa paghihirap ni Job at kung paano siya ay nagkaroon ng mga pakikipagbaka sa kanyang kaisipan ukol sa kanyang paniniwala sa Diyos na makatarungan. Ngunit umiral din ang kanyang konsensya na nagpipilit ng kanyang pagkamatuwid. At nangyayari din ito sa amin, Panginoon, ang magkaroon ng pagdududa, pag-aanilangan, at kung dumarating ang gayong panahon na wakatulan ni Job ay maging tapat kami sa iyo sapagkat wala kaming maitatago. Alam mo ang laman ng aming isip, ang hinihingi mo ay ang buong katapatan sa pakikipag-ugnayan sa iyo. Nawa, Panginoon, ay baguhin rin namin ang pananaw na naging umiral din kay Job na ang lahat ay gusto niyang unawain sa usapin ng hustisya. Samantalang maraming bagay sa aming buhay ay dapat naming tingnan sa pananaw ng iyong karunungan. At sa iyong karunungan, hindi namin malirip, may mga bagay kaming pinaghihirapan na hindi namin maipaliwanag, Ngunit marunong kang Diyos at sa ganung mga panahon, nawa ay tunay na magtiwala kami. We may be like that man who fears the Lord and obeys the voice of the servant, and yet we walk in darkness and there is no light, and we are called upon to trust the Lord and to rely upon our God. May we learn to heed that exhortation. Help us, Lord, to celebrate your wisdom and hear us as we commit this through the one who suffered with all innocence, with all righteousness, without any sin, yet he suffered for our sake. Hear us for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.